Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This program is sponsored by Every.Black Entrepreneurs Network. Our foundation scripture today comes from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and verses 56 and 57. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Storytelling Time program this week is the first story coming from chapter 7 in the book Heaven Can't Wait, or Can It?, the sequel. The title of the chapter is On the Beach, and the title of the story today is On Losing Matthew. Before we start with our story, the following segment is an interview I conducted with a local pastor who offered some spiritual insights on how anyone can become an author, if that is a desire they have. The pastor's name is the Reverend James Davis, former pastor of the Grace AME Zion Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. So here is that clip.
Well, one more question, and I want to go back to the prospects of you writing a book, and I know that's in the future, but I do think that there are principles that anyone who would like to write a book or would like to be successful at anything, there are principles involved. So do you have any principles that you could share with especially our listeners who maybe would like to write a book? Because there are a number of people, well, not a number, but there are quite a few people who've come to me saying that, hey, I want to write a book. So how do I do it? And I try to give lessons as to how to do that in my podcast. I spend a little time, not a great deal of time. But do you have any suggestions from a spiritual standpoint that people might be able to use?
Well, it looks like I need to be getting all that advice from you because I haven't wrote the first one. but I will say that, you know, my mother ministry, she is now the missionary supervisor of the Western Episcopal District, Reverend Felika R. Thompson, said to me one time before when I was talking to her about writing a book, she said, son, you write 52 sermons a year. She said, you've already written a book. And I never thought about it like that. Oh, man, I never in my mind imagined that. I said, she is so right. In a sermon, when you write a manuscript, it's probably 12 to 15 pages, depending on how you've formulate it down. I normally do Times New Romans, double space, but I got like a 15-16 inch font so I can see, right? But you asked what I said. I referenced that story to say this. Everything that we need is already inside of us, and I'm preaching to myself right now. There's a saying that says the richest place in America is a graveyard because so many people die and never have really given all the wealth that they have out of themselves. And so I say that to say the only advice that I can really give, and I'm giving to myself, is your story is valuable to share. And then you have to ask what type of book you're trying to write. You know, if you're trying to write a self-help book, are you trying to write an autobiography of yourself? You know, you're trying to write a story of yourself. Are you trying to glean from an experience? One person told me this, just write and you can organize it later. And so that's one thing. The two things I will say is consider yourself and your story valuable enough to share. It is. I don't care how low you think it is or how you think it might not. You don't know. Your story will help somebody. It will help somebody. I haven't had a chance to write my book in its entirety, but I have done presentations on the book I want to write, and the presentations and the motivational speaking that I've done with it, the stories that I get back are really bone shaking for me. So consider your story valuable enough to share and just write. You can formulate where it goes later. Don't worry about the commas and the periods and all that stuff. That's why they got editors. They do all that. Listen, just tell the story.
We'll be back in just a minute with our story.
Thank you.
Welcome back. The last time we met telling our story, it ended with Missy taking Sandra to the hospital to be examined for severe pain that was occurring in her abdomen. After the examination, Sandra was told that she had a malfunctioning liver, due in part to the accident she had while driving from the airport in Minneapolis to a downtown hotel. While Missy tried to comfort her, Sandra took her newly revealed illness very badly. This was an understandable response, because the doctor had given her little chance of survival unless a replacement liver could be found, and found soon. Yes, she was in dire need of a liver transplant. Missy was a big help to Sandra when she first returned to Detroit after her Damascus Road experience, highlighted by the incident she had. She was affected almost as much as Sandra about the news she had received from the doctor, but she promised her that she would give her all the support that she needed. One thing that Missy did to help Sandra was to pick up a wheelchair, plus a fresh pair of crutches from a local medical supply store. Sandra's rehab was going well. She didn't even use her wheelchair after 6 weeks, and she had begun to use her crutches on a limited basis. After that, she slowly began to walk normally again. It was at that time when she started planning for her trip to Bermuda. Sandra arranged with Missy to take her to the airport for her weekend trip. When Missy talked to her on the phone only a week prior to her scheduled flight, she brought along some bad news. Matthew had passed away because of complications from the injuries he sustained in his fall from a ladder at home. When Missy called Sandra and she answered, Missy greeted her. Hello, Sandra.
Oh, hello, Missy. How are you?
Not good. Matthew passed away last night.
Oh, no. Missy, Matthew? Gone?
Sandra reacted to what she had just heard with tears quickly filling her eyes. After the initial shock of the news she had just received, Sandra paused for just a moment, not knowing what to say. She was devastated about the news that the only father figure she had ever known was now gone. She then uttered,
I just don't know what to say, Missy. I grew to love Matthew very much.
Missy tried to comfort her by saying, You know, Sandra, Matthew suddenly became ill over the last 2 days, and I don't think he fully recovered from his accident. You know, Sandra, I feel so guilty now since I was the one who wanted him to hang those Christmas lighting fixtures near the top of our house in the first place. But you know what? Sandra, he's in a better place now. Sandra didn't want to express her true feelings about Matthew, but she never quite understood someone being in a better place after they die. She just didn't have the faith to effectively deal with the loss of Matthew, someone she really loved and respected. Sandra did express her feelings to Missy one day prior to the funeral services for her husband.
Missy, I envy your strength at a time like this. I just couldn't be as strong as you are. And do you know why, Missy? It's because I just can't accept the idea that he's in a better place. Where is this place? Oh, I'm sorry to be carrying on like this, Missy, but to me he's gone. He's gone, and I feel horrible about it.
Sandra had communicated her feelings to Missy as the tears began to flow. But Missy tried to hold her up. She replied, Now, Sandra, I feel the same way you feel. That is, I'm hurt that he's gone from us. But you have to grow in the strength you're saying I have. And believe me, I've grown a lot over the last few years. Anyway, while I hurt like you do, I've grown to depend on what the scripture says about those who have left us. And that is, they are still with us in spirit. That's what Jesus says in effect, and I believe it's in John the 11th chapter and the 26th verse. And that is, if we believe in him, we will never die, which means that our spirit will never die. Missy tried her best to explain to Sandra that she should not focus so much on the physical part of Matthew, that is, his physical body, because that part of him was lifeless, but instead asking for God's help to realize that part of him, the spiritual part, still lives on in another dimension. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Missy gave Sandra the date and time of the service for Matthew, and it would be held at Mark Methodist in Flint, which was the home church of both Missy and Maggie, as well as all the siblings. The service would be held in 4 days, only 2 days before Sandra's scheduled flight to Bermuda. Maggie helped Missy in planning for the homegoing service for Matthew. The day of the service was a sad one. Like her friend Maggie, Sandra saw Matthew as her father, the father she never knew growing up. For Maggie, as well as Missy, their faith kept their emotions in control at such a somber time. They realized from lessons taught at their church that only the physical body dies, and our spiritual body is released to be even more aware than our current physical minds. But we can't conceive of that truth in our natural minds until our own transition. This precept was difficult for Sandra to accept because she was still only aware of the physical part of our human existence. She had yet to be converted to the faith, a faith that considers all three aspects of our existence, body, soul, and spirit. The service itself was a simple one because that was what Matthew had instructed Missy to conduct. He didn't believe in all the formality and solemnness of a typical funeral service. He always thought it catered too much to people's emotions in reaction to the demise of the physical part of a person's being, while overlooking the fact that they still live in spirit. While Sandra was impressed with the strength that Missy showed at the loss of her husband, she didn't share Missy's demeanor regarding her response to his death.
Why, I haven't even seen her cry one time since Matthew's been gone. Now that's different. Kind of peculiar, if you ask me.
Sandra's sentiment reflected what it says in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter and the 9th verse, in the King James Version of the scripture, that we are a peculiar people. She didn't understand Missy's response to a loss of someone so close and dear to her husband Matthew. While observing Missy's demeanor the whole time prior to the service, Sandra saw that she appeared to be largely unaffected by what had happened. Sandra continued to whisper to herself.
I'm sure she cared about him. After all, he was her husband, for crying out loud. Seems like I would have seen at least one tear. That Menzie. All I can say is that she's one strong woman.
Unlike Missy and most of her family, Sandra showed the devastation that she had concerning her surrogate father's demise. In her mind, he was gone forever, no matter that his spirit still lived, according to Missy's belief. The loss of Matthew was huge for the whole family, but their faith kept hope alive that he was still with them very much in spirit, and that they would join him in that dimension one day. But until then, Maggie in particular realized that she had work to do still, while alive in her physical body. Sandra, as well as Maggie and Fred, had ongoing challenges in the natural, physical existence that they would need to overcome. Let's take another break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. No one had more to overcome than Sandra, who needed a new spirit created within her, as well as to have her physical body healed. In Sandra's mind, her physical body was the major concern. She had a liver condition for which the doctor said only 2% of the world population could provide a suitable replacement. Would she find that match? Sandra figured that those chances were so small and that only a discussion with her inner self could provide an answer. That was the reason she would go to Bermuda, to find those answers on the beach. Sandra lacked the type of spiritual foundation that Missy and Maggie had developed, so it was difficult for her to make it through Matthew's service without totally breaking down emotionally. In the midst of the sadness that Sandra and the others felt, the minister gave the eulogy. Shortly after he approached the podium, the minister said,
"My brothers and sisters, it is at times like these that there's a constant war going on between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh part of people's being tends to focus on the physical body that may lay lifeless in a coffin, like our brother Matthew. Some may believe that's all there is to the person. But I believe that the person's spirit is released from the physical body at the time of transition, that is, the time of death. And that part is still very much alive according to Scripture. Let me tell you, I believe our brother Matthew is still with us in spirit. Now let me tell you, that truth is a test of our faith, people, because we can clearly see his lifeless physical body lying there. But all thanks be to God. Thank God that's not all there is to his being, to our being."
Despite those encouraging words, when the minister had completed the eulogy, Sandra still wept bitterly, as she said repeatedly,
"Oh my God, my God, he's gone. He's gone forever. He's gone."
Sandra's response to the situation, as grim as it was a reflection of her focus on Matthew's physical body, which clearly had no life as he just laid there, motionless, as the minister said. But Sandra had not considered what Missy tried to explain to her earlier about Matthew's spirit being alive. "That's the nature of the physical body," Missy once said to Sandra. Then she continued to tell her. "And that's because, as the Bible states, the physical body is taken from the dust of the earth and manifests through the miracle of birth. But it is at that time when God's spirit is placed within all of us, the life of God within us." Missy explained the idea further to Sandra when she said to her once, "Now, Sandra, at our transition, the physical body is no longer useful. It will lie motionless until it's resurrected in the last day, the day of Jesus' return to the earth, which is the hope of every believer and clearly stated in the Scriptures." As everyone left the sanctuary, Sandra began to sob uncontrollably as she was being comforted by Maggie and some of the other members of the family. Sandra's spiritual life had yet to be developed much. Her level of spirituality was inconsistent with the environment in which she was employed at Faith Methodist Church. Sandra focused her attention on her physical condition, something that she would hope to address during her 3-day hiatus in Bermuda. Let's take a break, and when we return, we'll end the story for today and close the show. Stay with us. Welcome back. Soon, everyone would meet at Missy's house after Matthew's service. While there, Sandra poured out her feelings to Missy in a rare moment when they were alone together.
Menzie, I know you and Maggie have gone through a lot with losing Matthew. I'm glad to be here with your family to share in the grief. And forgive me for saying I don't accept your idea of Matthew being in a better place. What I really meant was that I don't understand it. Anyway, it was nice to meet your other children who came home for the service. I just can't believe that he's gone.
The service for Matthew had concluded, and Sandra was poised to take the trip to Bermuda to find the answers to her life situation. Before she made that trip, Sandra would return home to Detroit to begin her preparation. Well, that's all for today. In closing, I'd like to say, and would like you to remember, that whatever you may be going through, such as with Sandra in our story, just keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.